Good morning. Welcome back to Creative Disturbance. My name is Ivantina. I am a doctoral student at the University of Texas at Dallas. And today, for Virtual Africa, I have the great pleasure to be with Huda Hashim. Huda, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm a master's student here at UT Dallas.
Okay, can you just briefly tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing? I've seen that you're a visual artist. You're also interested in architecture and traditional culture. So can you tell us a little bit about your work and what you're doing here?
Sure. I feel like my work definitely relates to my background. I was born in Liverpool, England, and then from there I moved to Saudi Arabia, where I lived there for 13 years. And then from there I moved here. I'm originally from Sudan, so I feel like that background definitely influences me as an artist and as a 3D artist.
Your work dealt with Oriental culture, right?
Yes.
Or Islamic culture. Can you just describe us what you're doing and what do you use in terms of technology and which tools you're using?
Sure. So as a child, I grew up learning how to write Arabic. So I would always try to doodle with Arabic calligraphy, Islamic calligraphy. So I would first experiment with oil paints and acrylic paints. And then from there, sort of try to transform bringing this Islamic artwork and Islamic world into the 3D world. So that's how I merged the arts and technology together.
Okay. So I've also seen you making very interesting things. I mean, you're taking traditional, not only Islamic calligraphy, but also traditional architecture, and you put that in 3D environment. What is the purpose of doing that? I mean,
so basically, I'm very passionate about architecture, and coming into this program is very geared towards 3D animation and game design, and all the classes that I would take, such as virtual environments, while others are building games, I would be here building 3D houses. So definitely, the influence of architecture plays in all my environments. From there, you look at, you know, museums, and, you know, they have the white walls and the spotlights. So I was trying to sort of find a way to bring my traditional paintings into this 3D space. So what I do is I basically create these 3D architectural installations, I'm going to call them.
Yes.
So with these installations, I design them in a way that's very cultural, either African, either Arabic. So it has that Middle Eastern twist to it. And sometimes African and tribal.
But your work is it both physical and virtual, or are you just concerned by virtual environment? Do you present your work in physical place, such as museums? Or
Yes, I've actually exhibited my work in two museums, the Eisman Center and the Dallas Convention Center before. And I feel like there's still that importance of physically seeing a painting, physically painting a painting.
Yes.
And so I also do that when I present my work, but I also present it in a 3D environment as well.
So that people can access that remotely? Or, I mean, it's just for that reason, or are you also interested in the digital medium as such?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in the digital medium. So my master's project is basically researching a traditional museum and how they show off their artwork. To me, I believe when I show off my artwork, I don't want it on the white walls and the spotlights. I want it to be in an installation, sort of where getting the viewer into this environment where they see it, they feel it, they appreciate the whole African environment or installation. So what I do is, you know, you see in 3D stuff, there is the white walls and the spotlights for artists to put their work in 3D spaces. So what I do is I create these architectural African spaces, and I take my traditional paintings, I take pictures of them, and I place them inside this installation, this 3D installation. And to me, I feel like not only is it, because I want to be international, so creating this 3D installation that showcases my 3D artwork, number one, it's cost efficient, because you can't build an architectural, you know, African space that's only going to last a month. So being able to create that in 3D, not only is it cost efficient, but it's also, you know, it's more efficient in the sense that you could show it off to more people around the world. It's not a physical location anymore. It's a online where a lot of people can view it and appreciate the art.
So you, as you were saying at the very beginning of the talk, you was born in Europe, basically. You grew up in Saudi Arabia, and now you are in the US. So you're definitely part of the diaspora community.
Yeah.
So how do you relate to all of that and to Africa personally?
That's actually a very good question because, you know, I'm originally from Khartoum, Sudan, but I've never actually lived there.
But you have spent some time over there too.
Yes, I travel. I go there almost every year, if not every other year. The maximum I've stayed there was probably 3 months.
Yes.
But I feel like living in Saudi Arabia and being around that Islamic culture and that Arabic culture, it wasn't much of a culture shock when I go to Sudan because the main language is Arabic.
Yes.
And the main religion in North Sudan is Muslim. So it wasn't much of a culture shock for me. But I feel like definitely living in those parts of the world influences who I am today as an artist.
Okay. I've seen that in an interview that you have done that you was saying that Arabic or Islamic culture is not well represented in the tradition, I mean, in the whole field of art. So is it like a need for you to show it, to make people more aware about what could be an Islamic art, or you are making this because it's your culture? Is there any underlying reason for that, or it just seemed natural to you for you to do that?
Yes, both ways. It's natural, but also I feel like, you know, living here, and there's a lot of us that are multicultural, that I guess we live in a melting pot, and I feel like we should all be bringing out our culture, whether African, Arabic, anything. So I feel like with me doing Islamic artwork or Arabic or African artwork, it's more of me bringing awareness to the beauty and the aesthetic of our culture. So it's more of me wanting to bring out that beautiful aesthetic that isn't natural to this country or this generation.
Yes.
So this is something that I've been open and aware to that I want to, you know, educate people with here.
And what is the, coming back to the Islamic calligraphy that you're doing, do you have any influence? Do you know artists who has been doing that for a while? I mean, Arabic artists or from Africa or the Middle East who are doing the same work that you do or who have done it before you and that influence or inspire you?
Yes, definitely. Dating back to the, you know, just the Quran has a lot of Islamic calligraphy designs in there. From there, you sort of emerge. My favorite artist right now that I'm following is called El Said. Mm-hmm. He's from Tunisia. And what he does is modern calligraphy, where he does calligraphy on huge buildings all around the world. And it's sort of his statement of mixing society and calligraphy together, where in a sense that he's sort of representing the culture and the sort of modern take on Arabic and Islamic calligraphy around on buildings, large scale. So it's very interesting to see his work.
I just noticed something. I'm saying Islamic calligraphy, but how do you detach from religion here at this point? Is it natural to you to associate art and religion?
When it comes to Arabic calligraphy,
yes.
Just because I was more aware, I was introduced to calligraphy through Islamic art. You know, Islamic print, Islamic patterns, all use that sort of artwork. So that's how I was introduced to it. Definitely, you know, all my calligraphy isn't all religious. You know, I know how to write Arabic.
Yes.
So I also, for example, anything that's meaningful to me personally, I use calligraphy as well. So it's more of modern calligraphy instead of Islamic calligraphy.
No, because to me, I don't read Arabic. So when I'm seeing your calligraphy or other Arabic calligraphy, I'm looking at it through the, I mean, I'm trying to see the aesthetic value or the aesthetic qualities of those calligraphies, but maybe they have a different meaning that I'm not aware about. And
right.
I wanted to, you know, basically an atheist, and I won't, I mean, maybe that you are Muslim, or I don't know, but
yes.
Do you, in your practice, naturally associate your belief with your own practice?
I definitely believe my practice, just because me as a Muslim and as an individual, I feel like my influences and my background, mm-hmm. Cultural background, religious background, everything about me influences my artwork. That's who I am. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like definitely, I mean, it doesn't have a bold statement on it that says, you know, I am from Sudan, or I am, was born in England, or I am Muslim. Yeah. But it definitely has that influence, and anyone that sees my artwork, appreciates my artwork, will see my background in that. So I'm very proud of, you know, all that I am, and I definitely portray it, if mm-hmm. not realistically, then in an abstract form.
Okay. So, you told me also that you used to do to give, to volunteer in Sudan and give classes to people for them, in order for them to be able to make their own architecture or 3D environment. So can you tell us more about that, and in which project have you been involved?
Sure. So yes, I do volunteer in Sudan a lot. You know, growing up as a child, I used to think Sudan was just a place where my family is from.
Yeah.
You know, until I sort of, you know, explored the country and realized, oh, I can make new friends outside of my family. So from there, I started volunteering in orphanages, and then to schools, and then art programs. And then from there, I started to see, you know, how could I bring my 3D skills and assets to this country that, you know, doesn't mm-hmm. really have these things. So I started volunteering at firms where I would help them with their work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also was able and had the opportunity to work with an architect and basically bring in my 3D Maya skills. What they would do is create these blueprints in AutoCAD, send them to China mm-hmm. for Chinese people to send back 3D visualizations.
Yes.
So I would definitely help them. So I helped them by creating these architecture, taking their designs and creating 3D architectural visualizations of their architectural homes for clients.
Mm-hmm.
And from that visualization, what I noticed was people had the opportunity to design and alter and change. So it was really cool to be a part of the design process.
And you're still doing that? Or?
Well, I stopped now just because, you know, with my master's and everything. But hopefully when I'll be going to Sudan in December.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope to continue volunteering and working.
Okay. Are you aware about any art science or art and technology projects or organization being done currently in Sudan? Because it seems to me that this area of Africa has been in troubles for many years now, so it's very difficult to make visible such projects that happen over there. So we will be very interested in, you know, in putting light on that thing. So if you have any interesting projects going on over there, we'll be happy to release it on Creative Disturbance.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
So maybe that you can also make a podcast with El Said, or are you in touch with those people?
Yes, I follow them on different social medias, and I've also been in contact with him just to show him my artwork.
You speak Arabic, right?
Yes.
So we would like you to speak in Arabic.
Of course. Ahlo sahla. That means hello.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.